Hey everyone, I'm Chuck Peters, your host, and you're listening to the new Kids Ministry 101 podcast, a show designed to inform, instruct, and inspire kids ministry leaders and volunteers. This week's episode comes from our national ETCH Family Ministry Conference that's held each year right here in Nashville. We bring together amazing thought leaders and practitioners from all over the country for ETCH, and we thought, what a better way to equip our podcast audience than to sit down with some of these leaders and have conversations about the things that they're learning and teaching others in the world of kids ministry. The conversation that you're about to hear is just a fraction of the great instruction and inspiration that you'll find here at the ETCH Conference. If you haven't already registered, I want to strongly encourage you to consider joining us in October. You can find more about this year's event happening October 16th through 18th at etchconference.com, etchconference.com. Now, sit back and enjoy. Here comes today's episode. We are excited today to be recording sessions here at the ETCH Family Ministry Conference at the Music City Center in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee, home of the Lifeway headquarters. And so we are here at Music City Center with several hundred kids, student, and family ministry leaders. And so as you hear noise and sounds in the background, that's just the activity of the event. And while we are here with these ministry leaders, we are also here with many thought leaders. And so we are excited today to be joined by Vicky Courtney. Vicky, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Many of you know and recognize Vicky's name. She's the founder of Virtuous Reality Ministries, producing online content, hosting events across the United States for preteen and teen girls and their families and parents. She's a best-selling author of Your Girl, Between Us Girls, and two ECPA Christian Book Award winners, Teen Virtue and Teen Virtue Confidential. That's really cool.
Thank you.
She's known and respected as a mom in the trenches. Those are your words, is that right? People
yes.
have applied that to you. And has shared her youth culture wisdom on CNN, Fox News, Focus on the Family, and we are so honored to have you here.
Well, it's great to be here.
So now, a recent study has found that nearly 75% of Christian young people fall away from the faith and leave the church after high school. So as children's ministry leaders, we have a unique opportunity to impact this generation of young believers on the front end and to play a key part in reversing this trend, this disturbing trend. And so today we want to talk about some of the key factors that are present in the lives of many believers who keep the faith, and discuss some practical steps that we can take as kids ministry leaders to better ground our children for life. So, Vicky, what are the findings of this study? What are these recent findings about Christian young people in the status of their church activity after high school?
Well, I think it's probably comes as no surprise to most of us that we're seeing some fallout, you know, just given the times. And I mean, most every church is experiencing that. And so what I wanted to do is just really look at, you know, what are some common denominators that we see in healthy, thriving churches where of course, you know, there's no foolproof formula, right? I mean, you're not going to have 100%, you know, of the kids and the youth that come through a church that retain the faith. Unfortunately, we're always going to have some element of fallout. But, you know, what sorts of common denominators are present in really healthy churches, and not just healthy churches, but also healthy families?
Yes.
And so a lot of what I share is relevant not only for those of us who are in ministry to children or youth, but primarily the parents. So, you know, it's really kind of a twofold challenge of taking some of these principles and figuring out, okay, how are we responsible in teaching these things to the kiddos that have divinely been placed into our care? And then how do we get the parents on board with that as well?
Yeah.
So really I start with, you know, one of the things that I think is necessary is to teach our children straight out of the gates that a love of God is to be their number one priority. A love for Jesus Christ should be their primary affection, is the way that I word it. And, you know, I go back to really the passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where we're where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." I mean, that straight out of the gates is telling us, you know, love the Lord your God with your entire being. And so I feel like that there's a lot of wisdom we can glean from that whole passage. So really that passage is the foundation of this whole talk that I give on, you know, what it looks like to be grounded for life. And so the first thing being to teach our children that a love of God trumps everything else. And so I think, of course, that's easier said than done, right? Yes. I mean, we see that, today, in today's culture, there are so many things that we give our affections to. I know a lot of church ministry leaders, you know, it's frustrating to see so many families that put extracurricular sports as a priority. And, you know, and I pick on that one a little bit because we never really missed church for that, but there was a time in my own home when my kids are now out of the nest and on their own, but where we had to really just, you know, do a heart check, if you will, and realize that in a way we had become too wrapped up in the whole extracurricular circus that's out there. All three of our kids are really involved in sports, and so it's taking up a lot of time. And even though we really weren't the type to miss church for those things, it was sending a message to our kids that perhaps that was a greater affection by the amount of energy and time and attention we gave to it. So we had a little sit down and decided that we needed to change some things in our house. And what that looked like for us was drawing some boundaries and having some limits. And, you know, we told each of our kids that they could have one activity per season. And that really, you know, it changed everything for us. And they had to give up some things. And so in doing so, we were able to model, you know, and tell them verbally that a love of God is to trump everything else out there. And anytime we see something that threatens to take that spot, you know, we need to do that self-check and figure out how we put God back in the place where he belongs. And so that's, I start with that principle.
So that idea of checking your affections, where your affection lies, so resonates. Because 75% of, at least in some studies, right, as many as 75% leave the faith once they enter into adulthood or go out on their own, clearly, but they've been in the church until that point. Clearly, attendance isn't the answer.
Right.
It's not head knowledge that's making a difference, because they would have heard many sermons and many lessons, but the change of condition of the heart.
Right. And, you know, and I wonder sometimes if we don't talk enough about just this whole idea of, you know, God has wired us to desire, but his ultimate purpose was that we would desire him first and foremost. And so it's not unusual that our kids would grow up and be tempted to make something else a greater affection than God. But I think we could do a better job maybe of being really honest with our children from the time they're very young and getting them to recognize that we all have this empty place within our hearts. And just like the Israelites, those stubborn Israelites, we too, you know, we'll chase after all kinds of things to fill that empty place in our hearts. And, you know, an example of that that I have to give recently, that I was babysitting my grandson. My oldest grandson is 4.5, almost 5 years old. And we have this thing where when he comes over, we started an Amazon wish list. Now, this is the equivalent of, like, you know, the Sears wish book back when I was growing up, you know, right?
Yeah.
And right around Christmas, you'd open it up, and you'd circle everything you wanted, and you knew you weren't going to get everything, right? And so now it's all gone digital, and so I sat down with Walker, and it's become just a fun Mimi Walker thing that we do since he was about 3 years old. And I can't remember, we went on looking for something, you know, a year or so back, and he said, you know, I said, we can save this. Mimi will save it. So, you know, there, you know, most people think, oh, people aren't good at technology. I was able to figure out, okay, I can start this list. And we call it Mimi and Walker's wish list. And so when he comes over, he's like, let's go look at Mimi and Walker's wish list. So the other day we were looking at it, and, you know, big old, I mean, pages and pages now of, you know, Paw Patrol, everything. And Playmobil, you name it, it's on there. And bless his heart, he said, you know, Mimi, I can't wait until we get all these toys, I will be so happy. And I went, okay, first of all, I forgot how literal children are, right? I failed to basically define for my grandson what the word wish meant in the phrase wish list. And so I explained to him that the goal of this wish list, it's more for fun, that you might get something off your wish list for a birthday, maybe something else for Christmas, but we're not going to get all those things. But then I went a step further, and I went ahead and told him, you know, Walker, we all have this empty place in our hearts where we try to fill it with all kinds of things. And do you know that even if Mimi got you all these toys on this wish list, it would not fill that empty place in your heart, because there's only one thing that will fill that, and that is God's love, a love of God, and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And those are maybe hard things for him to understand, but why not go ahead and recognize, you know, just that battle that we're all, I mean, doesn't matter what age we are, there is a four-year-old looking to fill that empty place with a wish list full of toys. And so for an adult, it might be something else. But, you know, just things like that we can do to kind of really bring awareness to that empty place and the need to make God our primary affection. A love of Christ is really the only thing that is going to satisfy us.
And we don't have to teach kids to want a whole bunch of things, do we?
Right. I did think that, I kind of thought, okay, you know, what message is that sending? But, you know, you need to have a little grace in there, and Mimi can get away with that. Maybe not Mom and Dad.
But so much of the that transformation, the transformed heart, first of all, we can't make it happen, right?
Only
the Lord can change hearts.
That's right.
But we can lead by example in that area. And so it's definitely convicting to me as a parent and as a kids ministry leader. It has to start with us, doesn't
That's
it?
That's right.
That if we are not showing them, if our words don't match our actions and our motives, kids see right through that.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, what can a children's minister do to reverse the trend? So if we see so many kids who, and it saddens us, you know, to see the statistics about kids leaving the church, right, are there some practical things that we can do?
Sure. You know, one thing I feel really passionately about, and I know that when I say this, you know, it's comes with a challenge that I think a lot of times children's ministers shake their head back and forth because they're like, maybe they've tried, or they're just doubtful as to whether or not it would work. But I really think we've got to bring the parents back into the picture in the sense of not just, you know, of course we know we're always going to have those visiting our churches and that sort of thing who don't have parents who are engaged. But there are a lot of kids with, you know, families that are devoted to the church, but maybe their parents don't really understand that God has called them to be the primary disciplers in their children's lives.
Yeah.
You know, one example of this that I will forever remember is when my oldest son, he's 28 now, but when he was starting kindergarten at a private Christian school in the Austin area, they, you know, were interviewing prospective families. And one of the things that came up in the interview when my husband and I sat down, you know, so nervous about our child getting into the school and everything, but the headmaster, I really appreciate that he took the time to explain to us that, you know, if you're accepted to the school, are you willing to sign an agreement basically stating that you are your child's primary discipler? And we are here to assist you in that role, walk alongside you, but the two of you are ultimately in charge of discipling your children. And, you know, I remember at the time thinking, wow, the fact that even has to be verbalized, but it was helpful to me to remind me along the way that, you know, I'm ultimately in charge here. And so I know the challenge for those in children's ministry is, and youth ministry for that matter, is how do we let our parents know that? And maybe we need to be a little bit braver, or a little bit more bold in getting the parents in the room and telling them, like that headmaster had that conversation with my husband and myself, that, you know, sharing this very disturbing statistic of 70 to 75% falling away. Most parents, when they hear that, it would definitely be a wake-up call. But really letting them know, okay, you are going to have more influence on your child's life than we could ever hope to have. And so we need you to come back on board if you're not there as the primary discipler of your child, and to recognize that God has ultimately appointed you in that role. And we're here to assist you and to support you and do what we can to, you know, expand your efforts. But ultimately, you're responsible. And so, honestly, I don't see the statistic reversing itself until we can get a little braver and be able to, you know, say that. A lot of churches have said that outright to the parents and, you know, let them know. But I find it disturbing that I'll go to places to, you know, share at a youth event or parenting event, and I hear from youth ministers all over that this is their frustration, that they wish the parents would be more engaged, and it was more than just come to church on Sunday morning and expect us to do the work. And then, you know, you go back home and there's no sitting down with your kids and unpacking what you learn. There's really no family devotionals going on. And, you know, and these are the solid, a lot of the solid families in the church. Yeah. And so there's just, I think there's not that sense of urgency that they've got to pour in at a greater level than the church is. And so we've got to call that definitely to their attention.
And we can't assume that everyone understands that.
No.
Right? And so we, as you said, we may need to be more bold,
yes,
more direct, and more intentional.
And even help them, maybe give them the tools to do that,
absolutely,
knowing that some of them don't even really know where to begin and all of that. And you know, that said, there are a lot of families who are, you know, they take that responsibility very seriously. But I wonder how many are out there that would, if we were just a little bit more blunt with them, honest about, hey, we're on the same page and not wanting your children to be a part of this 70 to 75 percentile group. And so here's what it's going to take.
And so we need to move beyond just ministering to kids and students, and we really need to engage with parents
right.
and equipping them
absolutely
to be successful as they disciple their own kids.
Which is what's great about this conference, right? Because
yes,
it's multifaceted, and so it's not just reaching the children's minister. It's really, you know, and it's looking at the whole big picture of family ministry, which I love.
Grounded for life. That's what we want our kids to be, not in a bad way.
That's right.
Not that they're
that's
in
right.
trouble,
in the good
but
way.
We want them to be well grounded and solid and to stand firm in their faith. Vicki, Courtney, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your insights with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in and joining us. As always, our hope is that after you've spent time listening to our sessions, that you would leave better informed, instructed, and inspired to minister, to serve the Lord by ministering to the kids, students, and families in your church and that the Lord has put into your care. Thanks, everyone, for listening to today's episode. Again, I'd like to invite you to come and join us to be part of conversations like the one that you just heard at this year's Etch Conference. It's happening October 16th through 18th here in Nashville at the Music City Center, and we'd love for you to be here. All the details on the event are over at our website at etchconference.com. We already have some great keynote speakers that are lined up for this year, including Dr. Eric Mason, Angie Smith, and Pastor Robbie Gallaty. You can also sign up for our email updates so you'll be one of the first to know when we add more speakers and topics in the days ahead.